Eufy is sponsoring today's video. They reached out to me. I tested out their video lock. It is a game changer. I'm going to paint a picture for you for why I'm so excited to work with them. So you're getting home, your arms are loaded with groceries or packages or boxes or everything, and your keys are in your pocket. This drives me nuts. This happens all the time. I upgraded to the Eufy video lock, fingerprint, tap, I'm inside. And honestly, I also feel way safer. It's got this awesome built-in camera. So whether it's a package delivery or late night Uber order, I see exactly who's there right from my phone. There are no more mystery knocks. And the best part, this thing was such a breeze to set up. There's no wires, there's no drilling. There's also no monthly subscription fees. So if you are done fumbling with your keys, because I definitely am, search for Eufy Video Lock or head over to eufyofficial.com/video lock. Your front door, your sanity. I just want to take a second and thank Policy Genius. They're supporting today's episode of Success Story. I know we all have kids. We all have families we want to take care of. And I personally checked something off major on my to-do list, life insurance. It's a tough topic. It's really hard to think about, but it's so important. And the hard part was sorting through all the options. Luckily, I found Policy Genius. Policy Genius is an online insurance marketplace that makes getting life insurance surprisingly easy. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Now, knowing my family's protected brings me incredible peace of mind. Don't put off this important decision. Check life insurance off your to-do list in no time with Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com.
So even like the first iteration of your career, which like when I look through your resume and what you've built, at its core, it was real estate. At its core, it was real estate, which is probably one of the most oversaturated fields in the world. Mm-hmm. Like I think everybody and their mother is like a real estate agent.
Everybody.
Right. So like it's not easy. So how did you start? So you come to the US. Did you try other things first that didn't work out?
Yeah, of course. And look, I've always believed that you need to become really good at one thing at the beginning. Focus in one thing, become the best at it so that you can add value, whatever capacity is in that space. Because if you try to do everything, you might not be able to grow efficiently in any particular space. So for me, it was marketing. You know, I graduated in business and marketing, but then I did my master's, I did an MBA and focusing on marketing, and everything that I was doing throughout my education was always applied to real life projects, you know, starting little businesses and everything with the angle of marketing. So always helping little businesses to stand out. And I saw the importance of digital marketing, not only traditionally, but digitally, with social media, Google AdWords. And I've always had a passion for marketing. I think that branding, and both you and I can agree on it,
100%,
is one of the most important things, both at a personal and a corporate level. I think branding is everything. So when you understand how to operate at high levels in marketing and how it can change the complete game, then you want to get really deep on it. And in this case, everybody can do real estate. Yes, of course. But if nobody knows about you, then who cares?
100%. Right? Well, that's everything.
And if you do a little bit of research on the statistics, 95% of the people that jump into real estate, they have zero clue about marketing. So for me, I didn't start, you know, traditionally as everybody else with real estate. You know, you get your license, you place your license in a brokerage, you start learning. No, I didn't fall into that. I built my own business from scratch and I never worked for anybody. But the idea was, how do I tap into a luxury market without having that much experience? Well, you need to understand luxury first. You need to understand the lifestyle first. You need to brand yourself as somebody that understands it. So for me, I started by doing luxury villa rentals. I was organizing all the high-end experiences in jet-set locations. So just to back it up a little bit more, I had the opportunity to go into the Dominican Republic after I worked at my first job here in the States and no longer was able to stay because of my visa.
Yeah.
I had to then transition and was either going to Spain and get back to a regular, you know, less entrepreneurship.
Find a job.
Yeah, basically. Find a job, basically. Yeah. Or try to, you know, pursue that entrepreneurship.
So you went to Dominican.
I went to Dominican because that's where, initially my parents, after all this crisis and all this thing that happened, moved into. You know, my father is an architect and developer. My mother was doing real estate. And one of the houses that they sold, is the guy that bought it, is like, look, I'm not going to be here more than maybe 2 weeks a year. So could you guys rent it short term? And this is when Airbnb was starting. This is when, you know, everybody was like, okay, what is this platform to rent homes? Like, what is it?
So it's not a hotel. I don't.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, especially in the Caribbean, you don't trust these sites that much. So they asked me, it's like, look, you are the marketing guy. How would you promote this home to rent it short term? So I was like, you know what? It's a good thing. Let me go check it out. So I went, checked it out, and it was really interesting because, have you been to Dominican Republic?
Yeah.
You know, it's a really interesting country. You know, it's beautiful. It's paradise. It's in the Caribbean. There is amazing, beautiful homes, waterfront, and they're most of them empty, at least back in the day.
I know that a lot of Canadians go down. They own property there, but it's all gated. And like, there's a misconception that, I mean, a lot of it is not safe, but I mean, the gated communities are luxury. Yes. It's all gated.
The luxury communities are the best. Casa de Campo, Capcana, Punta Cana Resort and Club. It's beautiful. Now, I'll tell you this. When I got there, I went to see the property and I saw the ones around and they were all empty. And I'm like, what's going on in here? So I started door knocking, sweating like a crazy guy. Yeah, and I started talking to the lady that was at the house, you know, just taking care of it, or the gardener. So when I was asking, is the owner here? Oh, no, he's in Canada or Russia or, you know, overseas.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, when do they come here? Oh, maybe like a couple times a year. It's like, wow, could I speak with them? I have some people interested on potentially renting this place. So I started to talk to them. I started to tell them, like, look, I believe that we can, you know, generate some income for your property, while at the same time I could manage it and make sure that it remains, you know, in good status, because otherwise the properties start getting damaged if you don't really take good care of it.
It's also a waste of opportunity. You can make money.
Through marketing, you make a good presentation, you show them how you could do it, and they trust you. You put them on the OTAs, which is all these different platforms like Airbnb, Expedia, HomeAway, plus on your social media, plus on your website. And slowly you start seeing more people coming in. And not only you start renting the place out, but you also start providing an experience, whether they need, you know, an activity or a private chef or transportation. And the whole goal was to keep yourself elevating to a more higher degree of quality, whether that's through the properties, through the type of experience that you offer. And the clientele that you're building is something that you're carrying with you for whatever else they might need. And it's a relationship business. You know, you're at the end of the day providing value through the services that you can offer, which is the properties, the experience, but you're building that relationship. And, you know, one of the things that really turned out to become really interesting is that once you build that infrastructure and it's working well, you start seeing on how do I tap into a higher community? How do I tap into building my community? How do I bring more people on board? And you start seeing all these big companies like Luxury Retreats, which got acquired by Airbnb, or you look at Inspirato or LVH. So all these big companies that operate internationally and with the most high-end clientele, they need some local partners. They need the people that offer these super high-end properties and can provide the whole service. So I started reaching out to these companies and said, look, I don't see in your portfolio that you have any properties in Dominican Republic. This is what we could offer, and I would love to work for you. You know, so any client you bring, it will be, you know, representing your brand. And they were super open to do that. So we started to work with, you know, a certain degree of clients that, you know, the A-listers that otherwise I would not have access to. So once you start building relationship with these people and understanding the game, you're like, wow, I want to become that big guy. So that's when you take that leap of faith and decided to expand a bit farther, you know, and no longer remain local, but how you can build your own local partners in other different destinations. So the whole idea was to expand throughout the Caribbean, the brand, not make it only locally, but also make it a bit more international. And slowly, while expanding in the Caribbean, started to do it in Europe and became that jet setter locator guy that could provide you with the most high-end properties.
You franchise yourself out at this point. You franchise yourself out. And
I was not franchising, but I was utilizing the same business model that these big companies were doing. Okay. So basically, you create not ambassadorships, but you create local partners.
And with other realtors, like real estate agents.
Yeah. So it's another company that
it's all about experience. And then also the X factor is the fact that you can always guarantee, because you are a marketer, that these homes are going to be filled. So
yes, and you know, like, what matters at the end of the day is to keep things consistently. So instead of building a business, you're building basically a brand that when people book through this brand, they understand that they're getting the same quality of service, they're getting the same results, no matter if they book in Mykonos or they book in Dominican Republic. And the reason for that is because what we did is we ensured that whatever property was in our portfolio, they will go through a different type of checks. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, okay, the same type of service, the same type of quality when it comes to the mattresses, the lighting, like the minimum details. And again, these local partners are people that have specialized on becoming the best of what they do in that particular region.
And also the experience piece is important too. They know the best people to go to for this.
So much. And it's a faster way to expand your business. Otherwise, it will take many, many years. But if you know how to plug in with the right people that have already built that for years, you just need to provide a brand. Because what do these guys care about? To have access to our clientele, to expand, you know, their bookings. So for us, we became like the middleman. And it worked pretty well. Now, one of the things that was really interesting is that all these clients, what they do at the end of the day is they want to have a great time, but they want to make sure that everything goes smoothly. So at the time, I was 24 years old. So they see the energy, they see the hustling in me. So they're like, come with us. So all of a sudden, I'm, you know, organizing a private jet and an amazing villa, and they're taking me with them. So no longer you're just working, but you're also experiencing this luxury lifestyle living. And it was fascinating, you know, for somebody that was coming at that moment from nothing to all of a sudden be living this life and making money with it. Mm-hmm. Was fascinating. And you really get to know the insides of what these people really want and what they care about and how they operate. And it really gets you to a different degree of understanding, right? Because a lot of people try to sell luxury, but they don't understand it. So I was actually living it through this type of services that I was providing. And slowly you start seeing that there is commonalities, right? Like a lot of these big players, they love to have the beautiful woman, the great setups. And so I was like, how can I access to provide this value and make it even to my advantage and also help everybody else, like a win-win situation? And that's when influencer marketing came into the playground. Influencer marketing was something that at the time it was not really that well known, especially in real estate. It was zero.
I was going to say, this is not what you learned from your marketing in your MBA.
No, zero, zero. And you know, that's the funny part, because, you know, just to trick you, a couple of years before all of this happened, when I finished my MBA, I was, you know, at a startup working at a decent job, and slowly I progressed to become the director of operations. I had which is a friend in common that we have, Benny Abud.
Yeah.
So I was working for him, you know, and he placed me in a really top position at a really young age. I was 22 and I was, you know, leading a really large team. And all of a sudden I'm like, I have no clue. What did I learn in school that is not helping me now?
I have my MBA too. Yeah. And I don't think I've actually ever thought of anything I've learned in my MBA.
Zero.
Like that I actually use in my day-to-day. I learned everything actually before my MBA, because I worked in startups before my MBA.
There you go.
And then you learn everything because you're just doing it.
No, but 100%. Yeah. And I recommend, a lot of people are like, oh, I'm going to take another program. It's like,
just do it.
Dude, just get to work.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Start experiencing. It's okay to keep I encourage everybody to keep educating yourself while working.